We're continuing, we're in the book of Ezra, and now we're up to what they call the third chapter. Now we can read inside again. We flew through the numbers, we move on. 70 psukim of numbers. Vayga ha-chodesh ha-shevi, the seventh month had come. What's the seventh month? Tishrei. Uvnei Yisrael be'arim. The Jewish people were in their cities. Vayasfu ha'am ki ishechad el Yerushalayim. The nation gathered, it's Rosh Hashanah. They're all coming into Jerusalem. Vayakam Yoshua ben Yotzadak ve'chav ha-kohanim. So the Kohen Gadol, Yeshua, and the Kohanim, they stand up. Zerubbabel ben Shaltiel ve'chav. Zerubbabel ben Shaltiel. He was actually a descendant of Shaltiel. He's called ben Shaltiel. And his brothers, they came. Ve'ivnut mizbach Elohei Yisrael. They rebuilt the Mizbeach. They're going to bring sacrifices. It's the new year, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot. Okay, they rebuild the Beit HaMikdash. They rebuild what? The Mizbeach, the altar. They established the Mizbeach on its foundation. So they want to bring sacrifices, but they were scared of the neighboring nations, that the nations will come and say, hey, what are the Jews doing there? So they were scared. And so they only built an altar so that the nations will hear that they were sent by the king. And they will respect, hey, the Jews started. They're entitled to be here. On the one hand, they're scared of them. On the other hand, they have to move forward. They were sent to rebuild the Beit HaMikdash. So they established the altar. So they bring sacrifices in the morning and the evening. Then they celebrate Sukkot, like the Torah says. They bring the sacrifices in accordance with what the Torah says on Sukkot. Kimishpat v'yom biyomo. As the Torah says, each day should have its sacrifices. And after Sukkot, Olat Tamid, they continued bringing sacrifices every morning and evening. They're trying to advance the building of the Beit HaMikdash gradually. On the one hand, they want to establish it. On the other hand, they have to do balancing act. They don't want to make trouble in the sense that they don't want the nations to cause them problems. And they're right in their fear. Vila Chodashim, they brought sacrifices every Rosh Chodesh. Moadei Adonai Yom Kudashim, on all the holidays that Hashem had sanctified. Ulechol mitnadev nedaval Adonai, and anyone who wanted to bring donations and sacrifices. So from Rosh Hashanah, they start having sacrifices. The Beit HaMikdash is functioning in the sense that it has an altar. According to the Gemara says that they put up curtains. They didn't build the building, they initially put up curtains. And so they had curtains there, and that was their Beit HaMikdash for now. They had an altar with curtains around it. Yes?
Do we view that as a weakness? Like, I'm saying, as like we do this today too, kind of want to make the nations happy, so we kind of...
I don't think this was a weakness. I think it was correct politically, as we'll see in a second. They're doing the best they can, and it still won't work. They are under the Persian rule.
That's the best, because I was thinking, I don't know, maybe I'm trying to, what I think also today, because, you know, today we kind of also try to make people happy, and that's usually makes us weaker.
It's hard to know.
Here that's not...
I don't know. It's a tough call. I really don't know. Even today I don't know. I mean, on the surface it seems the way you're saying, but there's so much beyond what meets the eye that I really have no idea. From Rosh Hashanah, they start bringing sacrifice, and the Beit HaMikdash has not been established. The foundations of the Beit HaMikdash have not been laid at this point. Okay, so now they're moving forward. They have money from the king. They give money to the different laborers to start bringing stones. They want to start establishing a Beit HaMikdash. They pay the people from the north Sidonim, the people from the city of Tzor, and they hire them to start bringing large trees, arazim, cedar wood from Lebanon, and they're going to bring it down as Koresh had given them license. So they're starting to bring the raw materials, the stones and the wood, to rebuild the Beit HaMikdash. Uvashana sheinit levoam el Beit HaElohim liYerushalayim b'chodesh hasheni. Second year. It is Iyar. They start the building, and the Kohanim and the Levim, they set everyone up, and they're going to lay the foundations. When they lay the foundations, they play the holy music of the Kohanim and the Levim. So the Levim are standing there singing over the laying of the foundations of the Beit HaMikdash. And their song is part of the building process. The Levite song is going to affect the building. So together with them, you had overseeing the work, Yoshua, the Kohen Gadol, and his children and his brothers and the tribe of Yehuda. They're going to oversee the building of the Beit HaMikdash. Bnei Chenadad, bnei v'achem alviyim, the descendants of Chenadad and the Levites. V'yisedu abonim et echal Adonai v'amidu kohanim lubshim chatzotzot. So they're laying the foundations, and the Kohanim are blowing the trumpets. V'alviyim, and the Levites, the descendants of Asaph, have their mitzaltaim, which it would seem is some kind of clanging instrument. La'alelet Adonai yedei David melech Yisrael. They're praising Hashem with the songs of King David. And they're saying the song of Hodu Lashem Kitov ki le'olam chasdo al Yisrael, his kindness over Israel is eternal. And now that they're laying the foundations, everyone celebrates and they're singing, the Beit HaMikdash has begun. Many of the Kohanim and the Levim and the leaders of Israel and the elders who had remembered, they had seen the first Beit HaMikdash in its foundation. Now they're looking at this new temple that's being rebuilt. They were weeping. So you have people playing music and singing, and you have the elders who remember what the Beit HaMikdash used to look like, and they're crying because they see that the Beit HaMikdash they're building now is dismal compared to the Beit HaMikdash they knew. And the masses are singing. And the blowing of the trumpets mixed with the crying of the people, you couldn't distinguish between them. It all sounded like music. The nation was making great music, and from far away, everyone hears the music as they lay the foundations of the Beit HaMikdash. So the enemies of Judea and Benjamin, these are the pagans that Sancheriv brought into Israel when he exiled us. So they hear that the Jews who have come back from the exile are rebuilding the temple. So they approach Zerubbabel and the leaders. They said, "We want to join. We want to help you rebuild the Beit HaMikdash. We want to join your religion and we will pray to your God. We've been serving him since the days of Esar Chadon." That's the son of Sancheriv. Sancheriv, after he lost at the gates of Jerusalem, so Sancheriv went back to his Assyrian empire, and he went to bow before his idol Nisroch, and he told his idol, "Oh, I apologize, Nisroch, I apologize, I should have sacrificed my children in your honor, then you would have allowed me to be victorious. I apologize, I'll make it up to you." So his two sons, Adramelech and Sharetzer, they hear their father saying that he's going to sacrifice them. So they look at one another and they say, "We're not going to let that happen." And they assassinate their father. They hear their father wants to kill them in honor of his idol. They assassinate him and they run away. And then his son, Esar Chadon, takes the throne. And Esar Chadon, he brings in these pagans into Israel, so that Israel is inhabited with our enemies, with pagans. And the pagans tell us, we've been worshipping the Judean God ever since the days of Esar Chadon. Zerubbabel recognizes that this is a ploy. They're telling him, let us join so that they could come and be in our midst, and then they'll attack us and annul the building of the Beit HaMikdash. They say, no, you can't join. You can't be a part of the rebuilding of the Beit HaMikdash. He says, we alone are going to rebuild the Beit HaMikdash because we have license from Koresh the king, and he's trying to protect it. And so our enemies would come and weaken us and annoy us and disrupt the building of the Beit HaMikdash. And so they would scare them and they would disrupt the building. And they petitioned people to go and annul the Jewish plan. Throughout the days of Koresh and Darius, they were able to hire people to go and tell them, stop the building of the Beit HaMikdash. So they kept trying, petitioning the king to stop the building of the Beit HaMikdash. Umalchut Achashverosh b'tchilat malchuto. So after Koresh, Achashverosh took the throne. This is our Achashverosh. Katevu sitna al yoshevei Yehuda v'Yerushalayim. They wrote a letter against the Jews of Judea and Jerusalem. Uvimei Artachshasta. Back in the days of Artachshasta, in the days of Koresh. So sometimes he's called Koresh, sometimes he's called Daryavesh, sometimes he's called Artachshasta. Koresh is the word, has the letters Kasher. Initially he was kosher. Artachshasta was the name of his kingdom. And Daryavesh was the name of the king. So Katav, they wrote Bishlam, as though they were interested in peace. The name of the person who wrote the letter, the enemy of the Jews, his name was Mitredat Tovel. He wrote the following letter. So the Pasuk moved forward to the days of Achashverosh and said, they wrote an evil letter against us in the days of Achashverosh. Now the Pasuk goes back to the days of Koresh and says, but it really began beforehand. In the days of Koresh, they wrote the following letter. In the days of Achashverosh, they followed up. When a new king came to the throne, when Achashverosh came to the throne, they followed up and they ensured that Achashverosh would also prevent us from building the Beit HaMikdash. So look at how cruel this is. Koresh invites the Jews to ascend. The Jews leave everything they know. They leave their communities. Over 40,000 people ascend to Israel to rebuild the Beit HaMikdash. And now they write Koresh the following letter. Ush'al Knavata and his friends, Al Tachshasta Melech Paras. They wrote the following letter to Tachshasta. Uchetav Anishtevan. The writing of the letter, Katuva Aramit Umtugam Aramit, was written clearly in Aramaic. Rechum Be'el Te'em. The letter begins. Rechum, who was the scribe, and he was the one who arranged the following letter. Vishimshai Safra, Shimshai, who was the son of Haman. Remember him. Shimshai is Haman's son. He was the one who actually wrote the letter. There was the composer, Rechum, and Shimshai, who actually wrote it. Ketavu, they wrote Igra Chada al Yerushalayim. They wrote a new letter about Jerusalem. Together, Rechum and Shimshai. So remember, who was behind it all? Mitredat Tavel. So the enemies of Judea, Mitredat and Tavel, joined forces with Rechum, who was the author, Shimshai, who was the scribe, Le'Artachshasta Malka Kenema. About the rebuilding of the Beit HaMikdash, they wrote to Artachshasta, the king, as the following. Edain, then, Rechum Be'elteim v'Shimshai Safra Ushar Knavaton, Rechum, the author, and Shimshai, and their friends, Dinayei ve'afarsat chayei. These are the names of the different nations who were living in Jerusalem at the time, who were living throughout Israel, not Jerusalem. Talpilayei, Afarsayei, Arkevayei, Bavlaei, Shushanchayei, Dehavei, Elamayei. All these different families that were living in Israel, these were all pagans. Usharumaya, and all the other nations, the Aglias Snapar Rabbi Akira, that Sancheirev exiled into Israel, di Shomrayim, and he had them settle in the city of Shomron. But we represent in our letter all the people who are west of the Euphrates. So they're telling Koresh, you should know, we are sending you a letter representing all the nations here in Israel and all the nations west of the Euphrates, because we're all very concerned about what's going on here. Why are they concerned? Because for a long time, Judea ruled over the territory west of the Euphrates. We weren't only kings over Israel, we were kings over everything west of the Euphrates. So they are very worried that we will again take control. Here's what they wrote. That they sent Artashasta the king. We represent all your servants west of the Euphrates, all the people in Chenet, all the nationalities, we represent them. We want the king to know the Yehudaye, that the Jews, the Selikumin Levatach, that left you, Aleina Tol Yerushalayim, they came upon us here into Jerusalem. They are building a horrible, rebellious city against you. You should know what's going on here in Israel. Veshuraya Ashachlilu, and they are quietly establishing the walls of the city. Vushaya Yachitu, and they are establishing fortification and walls, and they're connecting the walls. Kan yedia leve malkan. Now we want the king to know the enkiriata dachtit v'nei, that if they succeed in rebuilding this city, v'shuraya yishtachlelun, and they establish the walls around it, min davelov alach lo yintunun, they will stop giving you all the taxes they paid until now. V'aptom malchin tanzik, and the taxes of the king will be harmed. Now you should know that we want to destroy the temple that they're building. We don't want to see you shamed. We don't want to see you, the king, harmed. That's why we're sending you this warning that these people are a threat to your kingdom. The Yevakal Bisfar Dachanaya. Why don't you check the history books, the Avatach of your forefathers, the previous kings? Ute Hashkach Bisfar Dachanaya. And what you will find in the history books, Vitinda, you will know the Kiryata Dach, that this city, Kirya Marada, is a rebellious city. The Jews, they're a danger. If you let them rebuild the Beit HaMikdash, they will be a rebellious people. Umanzak malchin umedinan. Their history is they were always harming kings and territories and nationalities. Ve'eshtadu ravdin begava. And in this city, they're always plotting rebellions against the kings. Min yomat alma. Forever it's been this way. Look at their history. Al dinaki etada hochrevat. That's why this city was destroyed. Now they have a case. They have a sad case. But the truth is that Jehoiakim was entrusted to be a faithful servant to Nebuchadnezzar. He rebelled. Tzidkiyahu was entrusted to be a faithful servant to Nebuchadnezzar. He rebelled. So if we look at the final two decades of the Judean presence in Israel, in fact, our kings did not live up to their promises to be faithful servants to the Babylonian kings. Mehodein anachna lemalka. We are warning the king. Dihen kiryata dartit b'nei, that if this city will be rebuilt, v'shuraya yishtachlelun, and its walls will be established, lakovel dena chalak ba'avar nara lo itaylach, you will have no presence west of the Euphrates. The Jews will take it all from you. You will lose your ability to rule west of the Euphrates. That's their letter. פיתקמה של אחמל קהל רחום בלתם שמשי ספרה ושאר כנבטון דייתבין בירושלים ושאר עבר נערה שלם וכעת. So the king sends a letter back to Rechum, who was the author, Shimshai, who was the scribe, their friends, all the people west of the Euphrates. He reads their letter and writes to them, Nishtevana dishlachtun alena, the letter you sent me, Mefarash keri kodamai, was clearly read before me. Uminisim teim, and so I am making the following decree. Uvakaru veashkachu, when I asked, they checked. Dikiri tadach min yomat al mal malchin mitnasa'a, and the history of that city is just like you wrote. That city always overpowered kings. Umerad veishtadu mitaved ba. The city of Jerusalem, in fact, has been a rebellious city. They've been a city of stubbornness. ומלכים תקיפין עבור על ירושלים, and there were powerful kings in Jerusalem, ושליטין בכל עבר נערה, and in fact, they controlled everything west of the Euphrates. You guys are right. ומדע ולא והלך מתייהב להון, and everyone used to pay them the taxes that I collect. ומלכים תקיפין עבור על ירושלים, ושליטין בכל עבר נערה, the powerful kings that presided over Jerusalem ruled over everything west of the Euphrates, ומידה ולא והלך מתייהב לון, they collected the taxes, כאן שימו תאם. So I accept what you've said, and so I want you to put out a decree in my name, לבטל הגובריה אלך, that these men should stop what they're doing. Tell the Jews, I forbid the rebuilding of the of Jerusalem. וקריית הדח לא תתבנה, this city should not be rebuilt. עד מיני תמה יצם, till I give an order to do it. Now those four words in the end are very important. Because the Persian rule was that you couldn't annul a decree. So now he's making a decree, no rebuilding the Beit HaMikdash, no rebuilding the city of Jerusalem. But he leaves in a clause. He says, until I give permission. Uziri nevo shalu lemebad al dina. He says, be careful. Don't make a mistake here. Lema yisgei chavala lanzak kat malchin. Why should there be harm to the king? So this is his letter. And so here Koresh spoils. Initially he was like good wine, and now he became like spoiled wine. And Koresh now rescinds his license. עדיין מדיפרשי נשתבנה דיארטרשסטה מלכה קרי קודם חום שמשי ספרי הכנבטון. And then when this letter was written before them, עזלו בבילו לירושלם על יהודי, they quickly went to Jerusalem to the Jews, ובטילו עמו בעדרה וחיל. They stopped their work, they came with strength, they had the backing of the king, and they said, no more building of the Beit HaMikdash. בדיין בתירת עבדת בית אלהה, and at that point, the building of the Beit HaMikdash was paused, and it was paused till the second year of Darius, the king of Persia, the son of Esther. So at this point, we stop the building of the Beit HaMikdash. Koresh has been convinced that Jerusalem is a threat to his kingdom. When Ahasuerus becomes king, he gets another letter, and he says, you're right, I don't want to rebuild that Beit HaMikdash. It's a danger to my kingdom. Now we understand what Ahasuerus repeatedly tells Esther, Ad chatzi amalchut, I'll give you, but I won't let you have my kingdom, because he means my kingdom is on both sides of the Euphrates. I won't let you take all the territories that are west of the Euphrates, where Israel is. I'm not going to let you rebuild the Beit HaMikdash. It's his way of saying, I'm not letting you have my kingdom. You can't cut it in half. And so this is, now we've learned how the rebuilding of the second Beit HaMikdash had started. They had a year of offering sacrifices, and then they get a letter from Koresh that says, stop.